The Apostle Paul has called on us to live a Spirit-filled life, to find ourselves submitting unto the Holy Spirit and being controlled by the Holy Spirit in our lives. We do this because we are in Christ. 2 weeks ago, the Apostle Paul showed us that the Spirit-filled life was characterized by three things. He said the Spirit-filled Christian is a Christian who worships, and the Spirit-filled Christian is one who is thankful, and the Spirit-filled Christian is one who practices mutual submission within the body of Christ. And last week we took a step back and we examined what Paul meant when he calls on the church to be a Spirit-filled worshiping church, and we looked at his call to sing psalms and hymns and songs, and we examined that Spirit-filled singing that is a part of our life as Christians. And this morning we're going to continue to look at Paul's call for us to live Spirit-filled lives. And this morning, with God's help, we're going to see that this life of being Spirit-filled, it includes this call to live a life of gratitude. To live a life of gratitude for the union that Christ has called us to as Christians. This morning we look at Ephesians 5:20, and I'll read that text again. It says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see that this Spirit-filled life is more than just singing these songs that we talked about last week, but it's also characterized by gratitude, by thankfulness for the work of God. We're going to begin this morning with looking at the mindset of gratitude. The Spirit-filled life is a life of gratitude, and that means that as Christians we have a certain mindset that we bring to understand what that means, the mindset of gratitude. The text from Paul reminds us that those who have been purchased by Christ and those on whom the Spirit of God rests and fills, that we will see a life of gratitude and thankfulness, that this is going to be our mindset as Christians. We're going to begin, by the Spirit's help, through God's Word, to see that we think in terms of gratitude. That's the way our mind is beginning to be formed when we are in Christ. We live this life of gratitude, and it begins here in our mind. In the way that we think. And that's consistent with everything that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks. We've talked about how union with Christ is something that works itself out of the believer, isn't it? Union with Christ is something that happens internally and it works its way out. And when we are in union with Christ, Paul begins to set up these contrasts. He says, you're not darkness, you're light. And you're not foolishness, but you are wisdom. And then he calls on us to live this Spirit-filled life. And as he does this, he says that we live this life of gratitude, and it begins with our mind changing. We begin to think about things differently when we are in Christ. It's a life where We are a thankful people, and that thankfulness is a mindset. Look what Paul says. He says that we give thanks always. Always? I struggle with that. I struggle with seeing that word there. You know, if Paul would have said, give thanks occasionally, I could say, I can get behind that. I do that. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says that the Spirit-filled life that we live, where the Spirit fills us and He begins to change our lives because of that union with Christ, it affects how we worship, which we saw last week, and it affects our life of thankfulness. And Paul says, change the way you think about that, because the call is to always be thankful. We are people of gratitude, and the Spirit fills us, and in return, we give thanks. And where does this always mindset of the Spirit-filled Christian life, where does it begin for Paul? Where does he want us to learn how that happens and to begin to demonstrate that? What's the crucible for seeing that demonstrated and played out? For Paul, it begins in this context of public worship, doesn't it? All of these calls for thankfulness, for being Spirit-filled, it is as a gathered people. It's together. We sing these songs. Where does Paul want us to sing them? Does he want us to just go alone and on some island and sing praise unto God? No, he says, together do this. And then he says, Spirit-filled people are a thankful people, and always they're going to learn to give thanks always. And then he goes on and talks about the submission, which we'll see next time. And it all begins in this context of being gathered together corporately as we together learn to do this thing. This flows from the body of Christ being together. Our worship should be seen as a gathering of thankfulness. As we come together to worship God, we should gather in thanksgiving, shouldn't we? And we should learn in the midst of our worship and in the midst of our speaking to one another and encouraging one another, we should learn that mindset of thankfulness. As a Christian, you're only going to grow well in the context of other Christians. We learn to think together. Together as we're gathered, not only in this corporate worship, but as we gather for meals and as we gather in homes and as we speak to one another. We learn this mindset to be thankful. So maybe a question, when you gather for worship on the Lord's Day, do you see yourself as one who's gathering among this body for the sake of giving thanks to God? Is thankfulness and gratitude, is it central to your worship of Jesus on the Lord's Day? When you come here, do you come maybe with very little expectations, but you say, Lord, I want to give you thanks today. There's a great balance that we are to find in our worship as we gather. You see, public worship, it's not a sporting event. It's not something flippant. It is formal. But at the same time, gathered public worship is not a weekly funeral for Jesus. We gather together out of reverence, and we gather together out of gratitude. And our worship should reflect that as we come together and as we speak to one another. We are recipients of the Spirit. And together we learn to begin to have that mindset to always be thankful. Always giving thanks, always having gratitude. And as the Spirit of God begins to permeate our lives more and more, we find that we are more thankful for what God has done in our lives. And we grow in that thankfulness. We are Christ-centered people who are growing in that thankfulness, and that needs to go from our gatherings together into our lives. We need to learn to be people who are people of gratitude in our homes and people of gratitude in our work and people of gratitude in our friendships and people of gratitude in all of these spheres of life. And we begin with that mindset that says, I need to remember thanksgiving. I need to remember gratitude. And for some of us, this will be more difficult. For others, won't it? Some of us are just really, real naturally inclined to be positive people and people that are happy and smiley. Remember, in a few months ago, our guest pastor, Pastor Haney, said that when you use the phrase "those people," it's usually dividing. So the real happy, positive people, those people may not struggle as much with this mindset of thankfulness and gratitude. And for others, we may need to work on that more. And with the Spirit's help, we will grow in that. It's part of coming together as a people, as a Spirit-filled people. We grow in our mindset. That mindset of gratitude. But Spirit-filled gratitude goes beyond just having a mindset of gratitude. It's not like we just, in our mind, live out this Spirit-filled life where we say, you know, it may not appear that I'm thankful for anything, but in my mind, I'm very, very happy with the work God is doing. It's not just a mindset. The Spirit of God begins in our mind. That mind renewal, Paul tells us, begins in our mind. But we see that it's more than that. We see in the second place this morning a manner of gratitude. The manner of gratitude. And look how the verse continues. Paul says, "And for everything to God the Father." And for everything to God the Father. That's a manner of gratitude. We're to look for times to be grateful as we adjust our Spirit-filled mindset towards gratitude. We're called to always in our mind have this mindset of gratitude, and we're to find ways that works itself out in this manner of gratitude. Paul says we give thanks for everything. And what that means is that each providence of that God brings your way, each providence that comes into your life, there is something within that for you to give thanks and to give God glory in the midst of those providences. Have you ever met that old grumbling person that seems to just be able to find negativity in the midst of everything? And by old, I don't necessarily mean they're physically old, but just, you know, the old grumbler. Just always negative about everything in life. Paul says, we are to find reasons for giving thanks in the midst of all of these providences of life. And this attitude of grumbling and of negativity, that this is not who we are to be as Christians. You see, it's not pious to have bitterness. It's not godly to be someone that's just always complaining about life. And whether you think it is or not, it is not your spiritual gift to find the negativity in everything. The church of Jesus Christ are to be a people who are renewed by the Spirit of God. We are to be a people that are filled with the Spirit of God. And Paul says that when the Spirit of God fills us as a people, we are going to be a people of gratitude, of thanksgiving, and it's going to affect the way that we think, and it's going to work itself out in our lives. We will find reasons for giving thanks. I want to qualify that a bit. When we say we give thanks for everything, what I'm not saying is that there is never a reason to lament. And I'm not saying that there is never a reason to be angry. And I'm not saying that there is never a reason to be upset about the sin in this world and the sin that is around us. And I'm not saying that we are never to be disappointed, because these are real emotions and real reactions that God has given us, and at different places we're called to participate in these other aspects of life. But what I want to be clear is that when we are called to be thankful, we are looking for reasons to give thanks in the midst of providences. But that doesn't mean that there is sin, or that there's not sin where we are disappointed or angry or frustrated. There are many sinful things in this world and many sinful things that still affect us as Christians, and for those things we don't give thanks. We don't give thanks for sin. But what we can do is we can say, here is the sin that has affected my life, and God has used that to bring me here, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for God using that sin to reveal this to me, or to bring me to this point in life. But we're not called to be thankful for sin. God hates sin. But God uses that in our lives. And God isn't calling us to swallow the bitter pill. Be thankful even in the midst of this. No, we're to look at that. We're to say, how is God using that in my life? And there may be something for which we can give thanks in the midst of that providence. But I'm not saying that we just go through life saying, well, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. You know, tragedies happen and sin happens and horrible things happen. And our response as Christians isn't to be just some bagged statement where, you know, somebody comes up to us and they say, here's the struggle going on in my life. Such and such has been diagnosed with cancer and it's a terrible thing, or my wife miscarried, or this happened to my child, and we just pull it out of the bag. We'll be thankful. We'll be thankful. We're called to discernment in the midst of this, where we're thankful for the things that God will use to glorify Himself and to draw us closer to Him. And we find things in the midst of those providences to give thanks. We are thankful that God does work all things together for the good, for those who love Him and are the called according to His purposes. But that's not a bumper sticker. It's something that takes discernment as we look for those reasons to give thanks. The manner of gratitude is a manner where we discern. We give thanks for His work. We give thanks for His blessings. We give thanks for His goodness towards us, and we give thanks for His fighting in the midst of our suffering. And our gratitude is focused to God, isn't it? As the source and author of all blessings, we direct our gratitude towards Him, Paul says. We're thankful for everything to the Father. Now in the Greek, this comes at the end of the sentence, but grammatically it fits in here as the object of our thanks. We give thanks. How? For everything. We look for those reasons to give thanks. And to whom does that thanks go? It's to the Father. We give thanks for His fatherly care, because we are called to be a thankful people with our minds and our hearts focused on the One to whom our worship goes. And this is a very relevant statement in the context of the whole book of Ephesians. Because Paul told us early on that one of these great spiritual benefits, the benefits that belong to the Holy Spirit, is our adoption. We cannot call Him Father until we are united to Christ. Spirit-filled gratitude is something that is towards the Father as we give thanks. And it's a work that Jesus Christ secures in our adoption. We're thankful, and we're not thankful to God in just some general and generic way. You know, those people that will just say, "Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God." And you just want to say, Who is this God that you're thanking? It's a spiritual benefit because we're adopted, because we've been called into union with Christ. We're calling this Spirit-filled gratitude. And when we call it Spirit-filled gratitude, there's a basic presupposition there. There's something that we are presupposing, and that is that Spirit-filled gratitude can't happen unless we're Spirit-filled. The Spirit of God does this work within our lives, and He is the one that gives us this gratitude towards the Father for everything because of this, because the Spirit of God has worked within us. The Father of goodness, the Father of all providences towards us, and we give thanks as this expression of gratitude for the Spirit's work. That's our manner of Spirit-filled gratitude. So we see the mindset. The mindset is that we're always to be filtering life through this. And our manner is that it's to work its way out. And the providences that God gives to us. And lastly, this morning, we see the mediator of that gratitude. The mediator of that gratitude. Our text says, "Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the Spirit-filled life is a Christ-centered life. The Spirit-filled life is not this choice where we say, you know, we have the Trinity and we'll say that these people focus on the Father and these people focus on the Son, but we're going to focus on the Spirit because it's a Spirit-filled life. No, the Spirit of God has taught us that what His work is a work that points back to Jesus. The Spirit of God lifts up Christ in our midst. We have to understand where the work of the Spirit is. Jesus will be lifted up. In the name of Jesus, Paul says, and what that does is it speaks to the authority by which we come. Sometimes we say in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers. That's a good practice. But it's not just something that we say as a tag on. A prayer in Jesus' name isn't mean that you even have to say in Jesus' name. The Lord's Prayer, hopefully, is a prayer in Jesus' name. But it doesn't end in Jesus' name. You see, that phrase, "in the name of our Lord Jesus," it tells us that it's the authority of Jesus that allows us to do this, that allows us to come in this way, that He is the one who's been given authority over all things, and He's the one who's building the kingdom, and He is the one through whom our redemption comes and the redemption of sinners comes. It is His authority that stands behind our gratitude. You may hear a verse like this and say, you know, "Pastor, it's just not me. I'm just not a person that is going to be thankful. It's just not in my personality, or it's just not in my character. And this may surprise you, but that's okay. Because Paul's not calling you to do it in your own strength. He says it's Jesus Christ that brings us to this point where we begin to have this Spirit-filled life of gratitude. It's the authority of Christ that's going to change your mindset. And it's the authority of Christ that's going to give you that manner of life whereby you begin to utter thanksgivings and thankfulness and gratitude. Jesus Christ has the authority for us to do this. Because He's not just Jesus. And He's not just Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who redeems a people. He is the one who is expanding His kingdom. He is the one that is holding our mind captive, that we may be people of gratitude. The one who's doing that work of mind renewal through His Spirit. Paul's not calling us to just some pop psychology mindset change where he says, you know, when I ring the bell, you say, I am thankful. He's saying the Spirit-filled life will begin to do this because of the authority of Christ in your life. Gratitude is part of the Spirit-filled life. And it happens because of the work of Christ. And why? Because outside of the work of Christ, you're dead. And I'm dead. We are unable to think in this way. We are unable to respond in this way naturally because spiritually, outside of Christ, we're dead. Outside of Christ, each person in this room is worthy of hell. The fires of hell were created for the devil and his angels, and the Scriptures teach us that the by what we've earned, the wages for what we've earned is this spiritual death. The Lord Jesus came and He lived a perfect life. Why did He live a perfect life? Why wasn't Jesus just born and sacrificed the day He was born? He lived a perfect life for you. He lived a perfect life so that your imperfect life could be replaced. He lived a perfect life because you fail, because you sin, even in your lack of gratitude, because you've not lived a perfect life, because you have trampled the law. And Jesus came and lived on your behalf. And not only did He live perfectly because you could not, He died perfectly for you. On your behalf. On behalf of sinners specifically. Not sin generally, sinners specifically. He died. And he died and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again victoriously, and he rose with that title, Lord. Now, why do I tell you this? Is it to fill time in a sermon? No, it's so that we understand where Paul says that we live this Spirit-filled life of gratitude that begins in our mind and works its way out in our lives as we begin to interpret the providences around us, and we realize that in ourselves we can't do this. And Paul says it's okay because we do it on the authority of Jesus, who lived perfectly for you and died perfectly for you and me as well. He is the Lord who is redeeming sinners by His blood, who's calling on worshipers to be Spirit-filled and to have our minds changed. The mediator of our gratitude is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we begin to live our lives with this gospel being the lenses through which we see all of life, things change, don't they? When the gospel is the lens through which we see life, we begin to compare our sin, our nature, and we begin to compare it with His glory and His grace. We're called to be a thankful people because of the work He has done. He alone has done this work, and He alone has filled us with His Spirit, and in turn He's renewing us that we may give thanks. Calvin said, "Whenever our Lord renews and refreshes us in the remembrance of His goodness, is it not fitting that we should be moved by it? Therefore, it's necessary for us to note this saying in which Paul declares that we are too unmindful of God if we're not provoked to acknowledge His benefits from year to year, from month to month, from day to day, from hour to hour, and to render Him the sacrifice He asks for, which is that we should confess ourselves to be wholly His, and that we are indebted to Him for all good things, and that it is impossible for us to perform even the 100th part of our duty." Friends, we are called to be a thankful people. And by nature, you might not be there, and that's okay. It's the Spirit's work in our lives. The Spirit-filled life is a life of gratitude because we know that we are who we are in Him. Sons of God. Daughters of God, redeemed sinners, those in union with Christ, heirs of His kingdom, and it's His work, not ours. And for that we can give thanks. The Heidelberg Catechism asks, how many things are necessary for us to know that we may enjoy Christ's comfort and live and die happily? The answer is three. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all of my sins and miseries. And the third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverances. Congregation, we're called to express Spirit-filled gratitude because of His work. Because of His work. And it's a mindset. And it's a manner of life that works itself out. And it's mediated. It's mediated through Jesus Christ, who does the work and who gets the glory. Amen.